For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Hearing the word and, of course, getting it into your heart, because that's a very important way of the word of God coming in and then getting into your heart is through hearing it. And that's what we're going to be looking at today, the hearing of the Word of God, how the Word of God is manifested tonight. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your Word. We glorify your Word and we praise you, Lord, that you have put it into our hands and that we can hear it, that we can meditate upon it, that we can read it, that we can put it into our hearts. Father, I ask that tonight you show us all the importance of getting the Word of God manifested in our life and in the society around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. So tonight we're looking at how the Word of God is manifested. How the Word of God is manifested. And that word manifested is used. We'll look at that scripture in a minute. In Titus chapter 1, that's where we're going to. So we want to know how the Word of God is manifested and what that word means. What does it mean? What does manifested mean? If you think about what that word means. And so we'll read the scripture first in Titus chapter 1, verse 3. It says, well, let's look at, start from verse 1 and we'll go through to verse 3. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Saviour. So one thing that we do see in verse 2 is God cannot lie. So that means that his word, which is in our hands, and Jesus said thy word is truth, his word will have no lies in it. And keep that in mind, because in preaching, which is all about the Word of God, you don't want to be preaching things that are at variance with what God wants people to know. In other words, at variance with the truth. So preaching must be based on the Word, and we see that the Word, his Word is manifested, manifested his Word through preaching. So manifested means made known and available as to what is written and promised. Things such as, and this is not a comprehensive list, but things such as blessing, cleansing, strengthening, giving growth, stabilizing, all of these are things that are made known and available as to what is written and promised. We see one thing that was promised in verse 2, and that is eternal life promised before the world began. And so the preaching of the gospel is very important so that the word of God might be manifested in people's lives, so then they can have that eternal life which has been promised. Glory to God. We have to be able to trust the word. Do you trust that you have the word of God, pure and perfect and accurate and true? Well, you should, because you've got to base your life upon the word of God. So let's have a look also at Mark 16. Mark 16. So we just saw that the Word of God is manifested through preaching. Through preaching. Let us look at how that is done in a bit more detail. And if we think about it, the Word of God, yes, it's contained in the Bible, but if the Bible is not opened, then it'll just be like a closed book that's sitting on the mantelpiece And you've got to ask the question, well, how do we get it into our hearts, our minds, and then into our mouth? How do we get it into there? Well, the Bible is very clear about that, and we must be people that understand about the manifestation of the Word of God. So we're looking, first of all, at Mark 16, and we'll look at verses 15 and 16, first of all, there. And this is Jesus speaking, and it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So that's obviously talking about every creature that can believe. Okay. "Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Ooh, this is an important message then, isn't it? Very important message. So one of the primary messages that the church must preach is that of the gospel. Right? The gospel, because men and women's salvation depends upon it, whether they go to heaven or whether they go to hell, whether they're saved or whether they're damned. And we see here that preaching, therefore, must be a primary work of the church. It must be a primary work of the church. It must be something that the church, which Jesus is building, must be something the church is heavily invested in, and that is preaching. Preaching. So we see, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, notice what it then says in verse 20. Did they do that? Did the people that Jesus was speaking to do that? Well, in obedience, notice what it says in verse 20. "And they went forth and preached everywhere." Now, it doesn't just finish there. It says something very significant that's connected to preaching here at the end of verse 20. "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." And you can look at what those signs are if you look through the end of Mark 16, and it talks about deliverance, and it talks about protection, and it talks about healing, and it talks about devils being cast out. These are all signs. But notice how that power comes into manifestation. How does that power come into manifestation? Well, the Lord has to have something to work with, doesn't he? He has to have something to work with. And this is what it's saying in verse 20, and let me repeat it. "And they went forth and preached." Is preaching an important work of the church, of the believers? It has to be. It has to be. It is. This is what Jesus is talking about, and we'll see it in more detail as we go through other scriptures. "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word." Not confirming stories, not confirming fantasy, but confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's have a look at Romans 1. Romans 1 says some very significant things here. Romans 1, 16 to 19. This is some very significant things about the gospel, and of course the preaching of the gospel. So are we to be people, when we look around at the fallen world, are we to be people that say, well, you know, what does the world say? Don't preach at me, don't preach to me. I've heard that said to me a few times over my Christian walk. Don't preach to me. And yet, they need it. They need the Word of God to be preached, and we'll see it. We'll see why very clearly as we go through. Let's have a look at Romans 1 and verses 16 to 19. The primary work of the church. So, well, we'll start from verse 15. It says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready..." This is Paul speaking. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now notice what he says here. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it. What's the it?
The gospel.
The gospel. The word of God. The gospel. It is the power of God. You want the power of God on the scene? The gospel, the word of God. Because Hebrews 4:12 talks about the word of God is quick and powerful. So it's full of power. If you want the power of God to be on the scene, and in this case, the power of God unto salvation, you've got to be like Paul, ready to preach. Or that we back the preaching of the word. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Lord can work with those that are preaching. The Lord can confirm the word with signs following. Here's how the word of God is manifested through preaching. Praise the Lord. Verse 17, for therein what? Therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Well, there's another area which the word of God exposes and indeed brings, and that's faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17, we'll look at that in a minute. Well, we see that without the preaching of the word of God, faith won't be coming. So you can have all the singing you like, but if there's no preaching of the word, where's the faith? Where's the faith for change? How can the Lord work with them? How can the Lord confirm the word if the word isn't being preached? We've got to understand this. The just shall live by faith. So we need to understand how to live by faith, because without faith it is impossible to please God. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. You know, men and women without the Lord hold the truth in unrighteousness. God has put it in them. And so there needs to be an awakening, you know, that blindness that we talked about on Sunday, that blindness taken away by the light of the word of God coming in. In fact, the Bible calls the gospel glorious in 2 Corinthians 4. Glorious. Glory to God. Talks about the light of the glorious gospel shining in people's hearts, so that that truth that they're holding, they know about God. They know about God. Deep within them, they know about God. They know that there's more than just the material world. I mean, they know that. Where's the laws all around us come from? Moral laws, laws of nature, they're not material. Mathematical laws, they're not material. They're all in the non-material space, and many, many other things. But the Lord, who is the author of all of that, they know about that. It just needs to be the blindness taken away and the darkness in their understanding taken away. And it cannot be except through the light of the word of God coming in. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 17 to 24 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 17 to 24. How the word of God is manifested. So, 1 Corinthians 1, 17, we'll start with, and we'll go to verse 24. It says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. It's interesting, isn't it? Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Isn't that interesting? Preaching is foolishness to people if they're in a perishing state, if they're unsaved. But notice, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We know that the preaching of the gospel, it's the power of God. Preaching of the word is the power of God, because the Lord can confirm the word with signs following. Glory to God. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 19 says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and it's talking about the worldly wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And frankly, if you're learned in the scriptures and you just listen to what the world is speaking, you can tell that it's just foolishness. That's where the true foolishness is. The preaching is not foolishness. In fact, the preaching is the power of God, as we just saw here. And it's the wisdom of God. And look at verse 21. It said, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. That's by their own, what the Bible calls earthly wisdom. Knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So if I was to say, well, the primary work of the church is preaching, that sounds like foolishness to many people's ears. But it's not foolishness according to the scriptures. The foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. If people hear the preaching and believe it, salvation can come. The power of God can come. There can be change. It can lead people to repent of sin and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as their saviour. And then go forth, as we read before, the just shall live by faith. Glory to God, to live by faith. Praise the Lord Jesus. Verse 22, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Can you see that? Can you see that preaching Christ crucified, it may seem foolishness, but in fact, it is the power of God. It is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Glory to God. It may seem foolishness about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ being needed to pay for redemption, but you know, judgment on sin is required and has been done, and the Lord has said there is a price, and the price is death, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the payment needed. It sounds like foolishness to those who know nothing about it, but as they start to believe, as they hear the gospel of where they are at, dead in trespasses and sin, separated from God and his life, and in need of the Saviour, then we can see unto them which believe it is the power of God. The power of God. Glory to God. Look also at verses 30 and 31 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, which of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So when you're in Christ, the preaching is no longer foolishness. You understand that the word of God is manifested through preaching. And let me just remind you about that word manifested, made known and available as to what is written and promised. I mentioned a few things: blessing, cleansing, strengthening, giving growth, stabilizing us. Glory to God. Giving you access to the promises of God. Praise the Lord. So it's manifested through preaching. Is preaching important? Most definitely. And most definitely, very important. Glory to God. Glory to God. We can glorify now that we understand because we're in Christ. We can say that in Christ, God is made unto us, He has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And we glory in that. Glory in the Lord about that. Praise the Lord. Because we know through the Word of God that these things are now available to us. They're manifested in our lives. Glory to God. Also, let's have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 5. Notice what it says here. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So what's he talking about? Demonstration of the Spirit and of power. How is it through? Through his speech and his preaching. Okay, but it's not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And then verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So our faith does not stand in the wisdom of men. It stands in God's wisdom. It stands in God's power. Can you understand what we're saying here? Our faith must stand in the power of God. Let's have a look at Hebrews 4 verse 12. Now, Hebrews 4 verse 12, we've all read this before, but we know it is a verse we should take to heart, just showing how, that the Word of God, the Bible that we hold, the Word of God, is not just any word, but it is a word in which God has invested his power into. And we see this in Hebrews 4 verse 12. For the word of God is quick, that means alive, quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, the Word of God goes into people's hearts, and it can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart to get you to be thinking and having the right intent as to what God wants you to do. Glory to God. And notice that it affects the joints and marrow, which is a physical as well. You know, God's word is health to all our flesh, the Bible tells us in Proverbs. We see here that the word of God has invested into it life and power and sharpness. Sharpness. Life, power, sharpness. And it's piercing. It'll get to the very core of the matter if you let it. If you say, I choose to believe the word. And if it's preached, I choose to believe the word that's preached. I choose to believe the truth of God and let that light come into your heart. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Let's have a look at Romans 10. Romans 10. We need to know where the word of God must be so that it can be manifested in our life. But how do you get that word into your heart and into your mouth? Well, yes, you can read it, you can meditate on it, but there's another primary way, and it's shown up here. We'll start from verse Romans 10 verse 8, and we'll go to verse 11 of Romans 10, 8 to 11, and we see that there is a primary way that the Lord shows. And remember, this is God's way. God's way. They went preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. That means that the word that the Lord will confirm must have power in it that will be able to be manifested. And how is it manifested? Well, we read before in Titus through preaching. Notice what it says, starting from verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, that means very close to you, even in thy mouth, that's got to be in your mouth, and in thy heart, that's your inner man, that is the word of faith which we preach. Isn't that interesting? Which we preach. And then he says in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So we see that confession of your mouth and believing in your heart is very important. So how did you get saved? Well, you must have heard about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how you were dead in trespasses and sins and needed the Saviour to save you from sin, or you'd be going to hell, you'd be damned. And the gospel, of course, is also, in its greatest extent, the full gospel talks about redemption that's been paid for a spirit, soul and body. Glory to God. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So you can take that word, if I believe on him, I shall not be ashamed. In other words, I'll not be left desolate. I'll be not be left in a perishing state. If I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and as it says in verse 9, if I believe in my heart, confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. I can take that word. I can say, I believe that. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ has been sacrificed for me. His blood has been shed for me. He's made that payment and he's purchased me, and he's purchased redemption for me. And now I am his, and I believe on him. And he is my Saviour, he is my Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm saved. Now notice, we go a little bit further in Romans 10. Romans 10, he talks about something that's very, very important from verse 14. Well, let's look at verse 13 first of all, and we'll go down to verse 17. So in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a, what? Preacher. Sounds like preaching and preachers are very important. In this church, we see it as very important. Preachers and preaching. Okay? Glory to God. Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So, talking about preaching is very important, otherwise people won't hear and they won't believe. Very important, isn't it? Very important. So in churches, the primary work must be that of preaching the word. And we see here, let's look at verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. What do they need to do to obey the gospel? Well, they haven't purchased salvation, that's for sure, but they do need to repent of sin and believe the gospel and receive Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. There's no doubt about it. That's what obeying the gospel is about. But not everyone that hears will be obedient. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So what do they have to do? They have to choose to believe. Choose to believe. But they've got to hear it first. But notice what it says in verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If the gospel is not preached, let's say, just take the example of the nation of Australia. If the gospel is not preached in the nation of Australia, you're not going to get people properly converted to Christ, and you're not going to then have people growing in faith because they haven't even gone through the door, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. People must hear the word of God, and that's how faith will come. Glory to God. That's how faith will come. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Glory to God. Let's have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. I pray that you're seeing that we must be people that understand that as the word of God is brought, it will bring light. It will show light, and it'll show people, as we saw before, it will show the thoughts and intents of the heart. It will bring light, and it will give a washing, because the Bible talks about the washing of the water of the word of God. It'll give a washing to them that are saved. It'll give a clarity in their hearts and minds. Verse 17 and 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord." As we believe, and the Bible talks about not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and a perfect and acceptable will of God. As you believe the word and let it transform you, then what's going to happen? You'll be changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And notice what the Spirit of the Lord is going to be doing. He's going to be giving liberty. You'll find liberty will come into your life. Liberty will come into your thinking, into your physical body, because God's word is health. Peace in your mind. Glory to God. Things like that. So the word of God is quick and powerful. Look also, and we'll go back to this, the second last passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2. And we'll look at verses 9 to 14 here in 1 Corinthians 2. 9 to 14. The Spirit of the Lord is working in the hearts of men and women and is working with the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word work together. Okay? The Spirit of the Lord, see, the Spirit of the Lord is the one that's working with the Word and confirming the Word with signs following. Praise the Lord. And we can see that in this 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 to 14. Notice what it says in verse 9. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." Now notice what it says in the next part here, verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world," okay, not the spirit of the world, "but the Spirit," little s there, "which is of God, that we might," what's that word there? "Know the things that are freely given to us of God." How do we know the things that are freely given to us of God, such as what's in redemption, but through the Word of God? Okay? And notice what it says in verse 13, "which things also we speak." How's he doing that speaking? We saw it before. Through preaching, through teaching, through the Word of God being shown. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man, now when it says natural man there, it's talking about the man or woman who has not been born again, their spirits are not made alive unto God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, it's capital S here, Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. What did we see was foolishness to people that don't believe? It was the preaching, wasn't it? The preaching. They're foolish, and the things of the Spirit of God and what he's teaching, and so that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, what he's teaching is not received by the natural man. The natural man is not alive unto God, but is dead in trespass and sins. But those that are born again, what does it say in verse 15? But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So we see that the Spirit of the Lord is working in us. He is showing us, as the Word of God is preached, he's showing us spiritual things, and we can receive that, and we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Glory to God. Let's finish with Psalm 119, verses 9 to 17. Now, Psalm 119 is what we could call the Word Psalm. It talks about the Word of God right through it, and what the Word of God can do for you and through you. And indeed, I encourage you to read the whole psalm. It's the longest psalm in the book of Psalms. I encourage you to read the whole psalm. We're just going to read a little bit of it, and we'll see that it talks about the Word of God. And if you think about it, the preaching of the Word is going to do these type of things in you as well. Praise God. Psalm 119, starting from verse 9, and we'll go to verse 17. Starting from verse 9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Notice, how do you cleanse your way so that filth is cleansed out? You know, by taking heed. Taking heed to what? The word of God, isn't it? How do you get the word in? Well, we saw it comes into a person's mouth and their heart through preaching. That's one way. Yes, you can read, you can meditate, and you should indeed read the word, meditate it, study it. The Bible tells that preaching is an important component, an instrument to get it into our hearts. You can cleanse your way by taking heed there to according to thy word. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. And verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So what's another benefit of getting the word into your heart? So that you live a holy life, isn't it? Live a holy life, that I might not sin against thee. Verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. So he's saying directly to the Lord, teach me your word, teach me your statutes. We saw that the Spirit of God is the one that teaches those who are born again, shows them, and so that we may know what is freely available to us. Glory to God. So verse 13 says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. So your lips now are now speaking God's words, what's come out of his mouth. Can you see that? Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. So how does he esteem the word of God or the testimonies of God? He esteems them as much as in all riches. In other words, it's at the top of the list. Oh, that men and women would esteem the word of God in such a way today. There'd be people flocking to church, wouldn't there? Or flocking to churches where the Word of God is being preached. Glory to God. So we can rejoice, and we should rejoice in the way of God's testimonies. Verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. So the word of God comes to you and you meditate on the word of God. You think about it. You don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. You're thinking and mulling on it and saying, how is this applicable to me? How is it applicable to me? I will meditate, verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Notice, I will not forget thy word. It's an act of your will. I will not forget thy word. Get it into your soul so that your soul, it's made up of the mind, will, and emotions, so that your soul is prospering. And if your soul is prospering, what do we know 3 John 2 says? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I will not forget thy word. You know, a soul that's not prospering will be forgetting the word of God. The word of God won't be in that soul, and they won't be transformed by the renewing of their mind. Verse 17, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. We live and keep his word. We don't, when we hear the preaching of the word of God, we choose to believe that preaching. We choose to believe it, and it comes into our hearts. And we can do all these things. We can study the word. We can meditate on the word. We can speak the word. We can think about the word. And we can confess the word. As it just said, speak the word. And we can go forth and be obedient to the word. And you know, the Lord looks upon the heart of man. He looks upon those who are obedient to his word. He knows our hearts. And I pray tonight that your heart is saying, Lord, I want my way to be cleansed so that in your eyes I am walking the right path. I'm going forward, not backwards. Help me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Let's pray. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the preaching, wherever it is, of the word of God. The preaching of the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, work with those that are preaching the word of God, even in this city, this state and nation, Lord, in Jesus' name. Work with them wherever they may be found, Lord, and confirm the word with signs following. Confirm the word with signs following, even as your word says. In Jesus' name we ask this. And Father, I ask that every person here be blessed abundantly, and there be an increase of faith in all of us, Lord, as we receive what's been preached and go forward as unto you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God.